Okay, we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're on page 4, volume 32, 9-2-1933. Louisa begins, I am always the little atom of Adam in the divine will. So as Father Bucci tells us, we have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. And that's Louisa. Little, the little atom, the nothing in the divine volition, just newly born. And I feel the extreme need to be nourished and raised in its paternal arms. So Jesus is feeding us with this first bread, the bread of the divine will. This is the bread, this is the food that Adam lived on. This is the bread, this is the food that Jesus and Mary lived on. And the reason we receive Holy Communion, the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, is to get us ready for the perennial communion with God that Adam had, to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. So Jesus is feeding us. Jesus is raising us back to abundant life. She says, otherwise the human will arises in me and forms its unhappy life. And so what is the human will? Again, it's the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. To understand our human will is to go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry. I don't want to live like this. I make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. This is the human misery. And this is what she says. If the human will arises in me, it forms its unhappy life. The reason we're happy after a good confession is that we are full of grace. And this is the beauty of this gift. My God, she says, have pity on me and do not permit that I know or acquire any other life but that of the divine will. This is the true life of Jesus. This is the true life of Mary. I don't want to know any other life, even if it's saintly, good, or holy. When the priest puts a drop of water in the chalice, the priest says, every day at Holy Mass, may we share in the divinity of Christ. St. Peter talks about this in the epistle, to be divinized. That's why we've been created, to share in the image and likeness of God, not to become God, but to be in God's image and likeness, which God originally planned. I want to know no other life but that of the divine will. That's sharing in divinity. That's what we're going to understand as we read and study and put this into practice. In feeling afflicted, oppressed because of the almost continuous privations of my sweet Jesus, that keeps me sacrificed and the stake of pain. See, she says to us over and over and over again, when I don't see you, Jesus, I'm not alive. There's no heartbeat in me. There's no breath in me. See, this wasn't a locution. This wasn't an apparition. This wasn't a vision like the saints. The church will explain this to us later on. What Louisa possessed, when she didn't see Jesus, she couldn't breathe. So that's why she says, the continuous privations of my sweet Jesus that keep me sacrificed on the stake of pain, that God alone is witness of my martyrdom, so hard that I fear that my unhappy human will might do to me one of its tricks. And what are the tricks of the human will? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, sin. See, the demons of worry stay alive in us when we feed those demons worry. The anxiety, we feed those demons of anxiety being anxious. We're keeping it alive. That can't be part of us anymore. They're the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity. It can't be part of us. Even in our jokes, we have to be careful of telling jokes because a lot of the jokes are negative towards somebody else, mocking somebody else. Humor is important. My spiritual director told me a long time ago, if you meet a priest that doesn't have a sense of humor, stay away from him. There's something wrong. You got to have a sense of humor, but it's not at the expense of other souls. That's not what we're supposed to be like. humor. I mean, God, Jesus had humor. Children, do you have any? Did you catch any fish tonight? You know, I mean, that's the humor of God, because he had plans to give them more. Go to the other side and watch what you can find. And Peter going, yeah, sure. I'm a fisherman. You're not a fisherman. You're going to tell me what to do? Okay, let's throw it over to the other side where there's no fish. And by obeying God, those 153 fish symbolize not only the Holy Rosary, but the 153 fish symbolize all of mankind, all the fish that were in the Sea of Galilee. Everything's going to be brought into Christ's church through the Pope, the Holy Father. This is why we pray for him. What Jesus shows Luisa is she has this gift, but she has to give it back to the man. The man is the Pope, the man with the keys to the kingdom. Don't be worried about anything. God is in charge. God knows what he's doing. God's got a perfect plan. And he's going to take care of this. So I had a fear that my unhappy human will might do one of its tricks to me, cause me to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. That can't be part of our life anymore. See then what your being, your pains, your acts must serve for me, Jesus says. For as many little channels which I, Jesus, can always play something of my own. See, God, he wants to breathe in our breathing. He wants to beat in our heart beating. And when there's any worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin in our life, we've pushed Jesus out. And Jesus says, I want to reign in you in a way that would make the saints jealous if they could be. Volume 33, 5, 6, 1934. My holy humanity took on the commitment with this great gift of the divine will. By dint of pains and by giving back to the divine will these rights that humanity has lost. Of letting the divine will reign in due time in the human family. You therefore pray, and that's our job. Our job is to learn how to pray in the divine will. And united with me, fused with Jesus, do not spare the sacrifice of your life for a cause that is so holy. This is the greatest thing on earth. He saved the best for last. And so holy and so divine, of a most heroic and great love towards all mankind, all creatures. This is what's coming upon the earth. The kingdom is coming. This is what God has saved for last. He has to give it to the souls who want it. He has to give it to the souls who desire it. And hopefully that's us. 933, 520, 1934. Whether they want to know, that's mankind. Whether mankind wants or does not want, whether mankind knows or does not know, whether mankind believes or do not believe, it is my most holy divine fiat that gives life, that gives motion, that gives everything. See, this, we're going to go back to the way Adam was in the garden. You're going to begin to, with your human senses, see, hear, smell, taste, and touch all the divine I love yous around you. You're going to see every leaf on a tree saying to you, I love you. This is God's I love you to us. You're going to experience with the smells, the smells of the flowers, especially during spring. I love you. I have planned for you to be my children. And what we do is we breathe this in, and this is what I mean by learning how to pray, and we give that back to God. I've heard people say, well, I'm doing my divine acts. Humans can't do divine acts. Jesus does divine acts. Jesus pray in my praying. Jesus breathe in my breathing. Give back to our Heavenly Father the divine I love you that you give back to the Father. I want to be in your image and likeness to give back to the Father all the I love yous that you, Lord God, so rightly deserve from all mankind. And I stand in the breach of every human being. And I say to you, I adore you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I worship you. With every heartbeat, with every breath, with every blade of grass, with every grain of sand, with every leaf on a tree, with every drop of water, we're supposed to be the voice of creation back to God. This breathing in the divine I love you and giving back to God this divine I love you through Jesus. Within, through, and for Jesus. This is so amazing. So he says this. It is. I've lost 33:520. It is the motion of all. Oh, here it came. It is the motion of everything. It is the motion of all creation. It's the I love you that God has breathed into creation, that we breathe in with our minds, our hearts, our souls, and give back to God what is God. The blood pumps into your heart because the blood wants to pump out of your heart. You breathe the air in. Why? Because you have to breathe out to breathe in again. It's a continuous motion. The waves coming against the shore, the waves going out. It's this divine I love you, and then we give back this divine I love you back to God with, in, through, and for Jesus by being fused in Jesus, one with Jesus. And this is why I, God, listen to this, so much yearn for the divine will to be known, what the divine will can do, and all of the divine will's history. That's the book of heaven. To be able to abound with new divine gifts, unheard of prodigies, Jesus says, to show off in love with greater abundance towards mankind. So much so that in order to do this, I, God, wanted the sacrifice of your life, Louisa. And he says to us, are you willing to be one with Louisa, the sacrifice of your life? We don't have to do this. But Jesus says, what I've given to Louisa, I'd like to give to you. This sharing in divinity, I'd like to give to you. She is the firstborn. Do you want to possess this? So she says, Jesus says this, I wanted the sacrifice of your life, a sacrifice I had not asked of anyone, a sacrifice that costs you, Louisa, so much, although you calculate the sacrifice when hindrances and circumstances arrive. But I, God, calculate it every day. I, God, measure its divine intensity, its hardness, the loss of daily life to which you submit yourself. It's fiat. Good daughter, this sacrifice of yours was necessary to my divine will in order to make the divine will known. Because of you being in bed for the rest of your life, by you not eating, drinking, or sleeping, Louisa, for the rest of your life, the divine will was known. You wrote down this book of heaven. Now it's known. Now that doesn't mean we stay in bed for the rest of our life. That doesn't mean we don't eat, drink, or sleep. Everything has to become fiat for us. It's not to be Louisa. It's to reflect the fiat of Louisa in all situations. It wanted to make use of you as a channel. Listen to this, through which to make the divine will itself known. It's through Louisa that we get this. You can't find this gift in any of the saints. God bless the saints. They're wonderful. They're beautiful. But they learned how to do the will of God, not live in the will of God that Jesus gave to Louisa. He says, and your sacrifice, Louisa, as the most powerful weapon to let itself, the divine will be conquered, to reveal itself to mankind through you, Louisa, to open the womb of light to mankind through you, Louisa, to manifest itself for what the divine will really is. See, we are supposed to live in paradise. And if you listen to Our Lady of Revelation, when she spoke to Bruno 73 years ago in Rome, she says, my children are going to enter the beatific vision. That's why she said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. She says, the children of Lucifer will always be trapped in time and space. They will never be able to enter the beatific vision. That's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be not saving Earth, but saving our souls, saving our family souls, going to Jesus, letting him be truly the Lord of our life. Jesus says this, more so since by doing her human will, mankind doing the human will, the creature Adam rejected. The creature Adam lost the life of the divine will. Wherefore it was necessary that another creature would submit herself to the sacrifice of losing her life, losing any mastership over herself, so that my divine will might be moved to making itself known so as to give back its divine life. Jesus did this, the new Adam. Mary did this, the new Eve. But the divine will has to be given to humanity. The Son of God possessed it. The Mother of God possessed it. Adam was a human. He wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't the Mother of God. But when Adam fell, he fell from such a height that it took the Son of God, took the Mother of God to redeem and Our Lady co-redeem with Christ. Now, Jesus says, I have to give it to a human. There has to be the firstborn, the newborn of the divine will, Luisa Picaretta. You must have this. Why? Because now you can give it back to the man. The first one will be the Holy Father. He has the keys to the kingdom. And what Jesus prayed at the Last Supper is going to be fulfilled. There will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. There's not going to be many religions. Adam possessed the universal life. The Holy Father is in charge of the universal life, the Catholic faith. There's nothing to worry about. The only thing you got to worry about is to be faithful and obedient to Christ and his church. That's what's essential. Jesus says this. Listen to what he says. Losing any mastership over herself so that my divine will might be moved to making itself known again to mankind, to give back its divine life to mankind. It is always so in our operating, divine operating. When we, triune God, want to overabound more towards the soul, more towards the creature, we ask for the sacrifice of one soul as a pretext that when we make known the good, what we, triune God, want to do, and this good is given according to the knowledges they may acquire. This is not Gnosticism. The saints were to know, love, and serve God. What Jesus says about the divine will is to know, love, and possess God. Mutual possession. This is why he calls heaven the wedding banquet, eternal wedding banquet. God came to earth to find a bride. His holy church collectively and us individually. He wants to marry us. This is why the mystical marriage is so important for the saints. Luisa possessed the mystical marriage. Since we are linked to Luisa, we also can possess this. We're not holy. We're not saintly. We're not good. But what Jesus has given to Luisa, we also can have. So think about it. God is proposing to you. Do you accept his proposal? If you do, buy a ring. If you do, wear that ring. And remember, this is God's wedding ring. He's proposed to you. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You are asked to love God with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So it's very, very important that we begin to understand that what God gave to Adam, what Adam lost, Jesus and Mary redeemed mankind. Are they to co-redeem with Christ? And now is the time of sanctification. Now is the time of completing creation and redemption by receiving from the Lord God Almighty a divine sanctity, not the sanctity of the saints. That's volume 1 through volume 10. Volume 11 through volume 19 is how to receive, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. No saint has ever had that. Well, the saints have had volume 1 through volume 10, but you got to learn how to become a saint. Volume 11 through volume 19 is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Why? Because volume 20 through volume 36 is how to receive again the divine inheritance of the Father. St. Honorable de Francia didn't even read that. Jesus is asking us to read it, to study it, to put this into practice. Why? The kingdom is coming. You have to understand, time is not what it was before. And if you really think about it, it was just September a week ago. If you really think about it, where did this time disappear? Again, I think it was St. Anthony said that in the final days, God will speed up time. Why? He wants this to happen soon. With Luisa, it is here. When the volumes came out of the secret archives of the Vatican, Jesus says, I will change mankind. You have to understand, mankind is changing. Mankind is not what it was, you know, in the 90s. Mankind is really, really different now. Why? The kingdom is coming, and God is trying to get us ready. So he says, therefore, be attentive. And again, be attentive to me is read. Read, read, read every day. If you have the calendar, read the calendar every day. Today's readings were so magnificent. He's constantly expanding our capacity to understand what the Lord is doing right now. It's to hear him, to see him, to smell him, to touch him, to taste him. That's why he said in volume 36, the human senses were made for God. And when Adam fell, we lost all senses of God. Even sacred scripture says, no man can see God and live. In the divine will, everything is changing. Therefore, be attentive. Read. And do not want to occupy yourself with useless thoughts on the reason of your state. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Time is so short. It doesn't matter what we're doing right now. What matters is, are we one with God? Are we ready for the kingdom? The kingdom is coming. Are we ready to, when that door opens, enter into this new and abundant life? Or not? It was necessary to our divine will then, and that's enough. You must be content. Fiat. That's what fiat is. I'm content. I trust you. I believe you. I have hope in you. I have confidence in you. You're my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, my God. You're my all. You must be content and thank the divine will. Thank you, Jesus, for this great gift. How do we thank Jesus for this gift? By reading every day. You read every day, and you're entering into this abundant life that God wants you to participate in. Volume 33, 6:16, 1934. Not even the littlest outpouring is given to us, triune God. In fact, an outpouring is formed between two wills that possess reason and know whether they are doing good or doing evil. Therefore, the human will was created as queen in the midst of creation, queen of itself, the outpouring of love with its creator God, queen of all created things. It can do freely a world of good. He's talking about the human will. Prodigies of value, heroism of sacrifices, if it places itself on the side of good, on the side of God. But if it puts itself on the side of evil, this is what God wants us to be assured of. Queen as it is, it can do a world of ruin. It can fall from the highest place down to the bottom of the greatest miseries. This is why, among all things, we triune God love the human will, because we triune God make it queen. It can tell, then and therefore it can tell us triune God that it loves us. It can nourish our divine outpourings of love and can engage in a contest with God. God breathes, I love you into us. We breathe with Jesus that I love you back to God. It's a divine contest. It goes on eternally. We in loving it, and in it in loving us, triune God. This is why we were created. Volume 34, 4-7-4, 1936. My poor mind cannot be without making my round. Praying the rounds are so essential. If you don't know about praying the rounds, go to luisapicaretta.me. Focus on the Easter rounds. Focus on the Easter rounds. And since like the Latin rite, Easter, the Pentecost Easter goes all the way to the Feast of Corpus Christi, I like to do the Easter rounds until Christ the King, until October. I love doing these rounds because it's filling you with what is going to happen almost instantly. God is filling us with this. So my poor mind cannot be without making my round and flying in the divine volition, and my poor human will feels as though under the pressure of the divine will. And I thought to myself, ah, yes, it is beautiful. One feels the victory. One feels the triumph. This is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. One feels the dominion. One feels the happiness. One feels the beautiful conquest of living in the divine will. But the human will, while it feels alive, must die continuously. Why? What's the human will? When it's alive in us, it's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That's got to stop. We have to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Jesus says this to Louisa. When a soul is worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, it is anticipating hell. If you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, Jesus says, you're anticipating heaven. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This can begin now for the souls who want it. You reject worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. You begin to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness. So your human will, if it feels alive, it's got to die. It's got to be sacrificed. It is true that it is the greatest honor, the greatest love of God, his designing to descend into the human will of the creature with his majesty and power operating to do whatever God wants. While the human will remains in its place, it can only do what God does. It must stop anything of its own misery. Again, what is your human will? To understand your human will is when you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. I don't want to live like this anymore. That's got to stop. And Jesus is going to give us the grace to overcome what has been maybe mountains of difficulties in our life in the past. Jesus can heal us. He's the healer. He heals us spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. And that's what the divine will is. As you read the divine will, as you enter into this life, everything changes. Everything changes. So he says, this is the sacrifice of sacrifice, especially in certain circumstances. Oh, how painful it is to feel one's own life and to keep it as if one did not have it. Because of the divine fiat, does not tolerate even one fiber of the human will that's acting in the divine will. So you basically, all of the world is the divine will. I mean, everything is an I love you from God to us. But when your human will is in charge, it throws that out. And Jesus says, that's got to stop. You got to sacrifice this. I know you want what you want. But Jesus says, you have to want what I want. I want to give you a share in divinity. I not only want to make you good and holy and saintly like the saints, I want you to live in the divine will. I want you to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. That's what the divine will is all about. Not only become a saint, but to go beyond this. This is what God's waiting for. And a crowd of thoughts kept crowding my poor mind. And my sweet Jesus, compassionating my ignorance and the painful state I was in, with unspeakable tenderness, placing his most holy hand upon my head, told me, blessed daughter, courage, do not lose heart. Those were the words of Pope Benedict when he became Pope. He says, you must have courage. Those are the words of Pope Benedict when he became Pope. The words of Pope John Paul II was, do not be afraid. Here is something that is so essential. You must not be afraid of anything except for going to hell. And you have to be courageous. You are a soldier of Christ. You are in the army of the divine will. God is going to win. The kingdom is going to be established. The evil one is going back to the pit of hell. He was given his 100 years. It's over. We have to get ready for the kingdom. We have to begin to live the kingdom. That's what Jesus is saying. Blessed daughter, courage. Do not lose heart. Don't get upset. You have to begin to learn to say fiat in every situation. My divine will wants everything because the divine will knows that even just one small act, one heartbeat, one blink of your eye done in the divine will, one desire or one fiber of the human will would spoil it, would spoil the most beautiful works. So you don't want to blink in the divine, you don't want to blink in the human will anymore. I want to blink in the divine will. I want to breathe in the divine will. I want to have my heart beating in the divine will. I want to walk in the divine will. I don't want to do anything in the human will anymore. Jesus says it spoils. One little speck spoils this great gift, the most beautiful works of God, the divine order of God. Its sanctity would remain, this is the divine sanctity, would remain hampered. Its love restricted. Its power limited. This is why the divine will does not tolerate even just one fiber of the human will to keep its life. It has to die. I do not want to live in the human will anymore. I only want to live in the divine will. I don't want to eat ice cream in the human will anymore. That's why I said earlier, open up the refrigerator and say, Jesus, do you want some ice cream? And let's eat the ice cream. And if God says no, it's no. I mean, God can't overeat. Our God is, he has fun with us. He doesn't overeat. He's not gluttonous. God can't be gluttonous. So when you're having something, Jesus, eat in my eating, you will lose weight. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. You know, I know people that are smoking cigarettes. Stop smoking cigarettes. Jesus, do you want a cigarette? If he says, I don't think it's good for us, okay, then we'll stop. And God will give you the grace. You're not going to believe the healings that are going to come through little Louisa. The healings are amazing. The divine will does not tolerate even just one fiber of the human will to keep its life. It is true that this is the sacrifice of sacrifices. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin, no more being a miserable human being. No other sacrifice can equal the weight, the value, the intensity of the sacrifice of living without a human will, living without misery. So much so that it takes the perennial life of God, the continuous miracle of my divine will, in order to be able to endure this sacrifice. That is such that in the face of it, other sacrifices can be called mere shadows, pictures, paintings, or games for children who cry for nothing. In fact, there is the human will that in the pains, in the sorrows, encounters or the works, does not feel undone, without life, without satisfactions. Therefore, the sacrifices are felt, oh, how much lighter, listen to this, but emptied of God, emptied of sanctity, emptied of love, emptied of light, emptied of true happiness, or perhaps not even exempt of sins. Because the human will, without my divine will, can never do good and never do holy things. The divine will wants the human will with itself, concurring a spectator, an admirer of what the divine will wants to do in it. But it must be convinced, if it wants to live in my divine will, that its human will cannot act. You must be convinced of this. You must be convinced of making a good confession. I don't want to live like this anymore. But it must serve to enclose my most holy divine will in it, to let the divine will do its works with all freedom and with all the sumptuousness, with the opulence of divine grace, with the pomp of divine varieties. The first thing that we triune God want is absolute freedom in the soul. What does that mean? No more misery. We want to be free. My daughter, whatever the sacrifices might be that we triune God might ask, or the works that we triune God want to do, if it were not so, the living in my divine will would be a way only of speaking, but it would not exist as a reality. Louisa lived this. Louisa lived the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. No other saint did this. And this is why this book of heaven is so important. As you read it, as you study it, everything changes for you. You know, when somebody calls you on the phone and is complaining, you say, Fia. After a while, they won't call you on the phone because they know what you're going to say. Misery loves company. No, it's fiat. God is going to take care of it. Do you trust him? Fiat. Fiat. And this is the life that we live. We trust in God completely. Vine 36, 5, 15, 1938. The one who loves me cannot refuse me anything. Do you believe this? Do we love Jesus? We can't refuse him anything. When you read the book of heaven, you can't refuse him if you really love him. Not even the sacrifice of our own life. Therefore, be attentive, since you don't want to be responsible with so many of our divine lives that are destined to give back to mankind divine life. What you see, Luisa's sacrifices was staying in bed writing. And he says to Luisa, if you didn't do this, you know, you would be responsible for so many of our divine lives that are destined to give life back to mankind. It's the same thing for us. If we don't read, we are responsible for not giving this divine life to other people. Your family, most especially. Your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. But all mankind. This is what God has planned. But who then overflows with the good for everyone? The one who has been the first to receive that good. That is Luisa Picaretta. The one who listened to us, Triune God, and cherished our truths more than her own life. Luisa Picaretta. The one who never looking for her own life and was ready to sacrifice in every instant for love of us, Triune God, to make us, Triune God, make of her what we, Triune God, wanted. This has so much power over our Supreme Being. It moves us so much that one alone is enough to let everybody receive that good. Luisa surrendered to Jesus and Mary. She did it. Not us. We got to go to confession each week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Who is the one that's done this? It's Luisa. Furthermore, the human generations are so linked together more than the limbs to the body that it is no wonder that one healthy and good member, that's Luisa, makes its vital and holy humors flow into the others. In the same way, the strength of Luisa, one single creature living in our divine omnipotent, divine will, is omnipotent. This is like God. It's not saying that she is God. To the extent that it can overwhelm heaven and earth, it conquers everyone, God as well as souls. That's us. What Luisa has done, Jesus is saying to us, I'm expecting you to do as well. I'm giving you this book. I've predestined you to live at this time to give you this book. When you read it, when you study, when you learn what this is about, when you let me teach you, Jesus says, when you let my mother teach you, Jesus says, he says, everything changes for all of the world. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics and kindle us the fire of your love. That's a divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. That's what's happening. The time of sanctification is here. Listen to the words of Mary and to Bruno in 1947 in Rome. Time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era of sin. The kingdom is coming. Vine 36, 5, 19, 1938. The virtue, the power of my divine will is such that upon entering into it, all the evils, all the passions, all the missteps, and all the works remain paralyzed. The human will is defeated to the point of dying, without really dying. However, it understands with great joy that while the evils are paralyzed, it feels the life of goodness rising again. This is the life that Adam had before the fall. A light that never dies, a never-ending strength, an eternal love, heroic sacrifice, and invincible patience. I, God, can say that my divine will puts an end to the evils of mankind, since it is the principal life of every good. My daughter, let's not break our love because it costs much to both of us. To you, in keeping your life sacrificed and at my disposal, to me sacrificing my life for you. They go hand in hand. And when Jesus speaks, it's always Jesus and Mary. It's the life of Jesus and Mary sacrificing for Louisa. Jesus on the cross, Mary at the foot of the cross. Sacrificing her son for us. Mark 36:7-38. I, Jesus, sacrificed myself to the extent of giving my life because I, God, wanted to do this. Therefore, when I see in the soul a spontaneous love, that's the divine will, and I feel enraptured, I say, my love and yours hold each other's hands so we can love each other with one love, God's love. 5:36-9:5-1938. My little daughter of my divine will, my interest and my continual yearnings for the creature to live in my divine will is such that once we've made the agreement, myself and her, with a firm decision that she must live in my divine fiat, live in my fiat, this being my divine will, I am, he uses God's name, I am the first one who makes the sacrifice. God makes the sacrifice first to obtain the intent, so that she may live in it. I place myself at her disposal. I give her all the graces, all the light, all the love, and the very knowledge of my divine will, so that she herself has to feel the need to live in the divine will. When I, God, want something, and she, Louisa, promptly accepts doing what I, God, want, I take care of everything. And when she fails for weakness, for inconstancy, for even for negligence, or not for will, I, Jesus, come to compensate, and I do what she was supposed to do. You're going to fail in the divine will until it's given. Jesus says, I will compensate for you. He says, what do you want? You're human. You're a fallen human nature. I'm going to rise you to live in the fullness of life that I originally planned for mankind. You're going to fail. Go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. But Jesus says this, don't worry. I'll take care of everything. I'll even compensate for you. I'll do what you were supposed to do. Transferring to her what I did as if she had done it. God's going to take care of his little peons. He loves us. 5:36-11:13-1938. Therefore, the one, this is Louisa, who lives in my divine will, possesses a divine strength that is never extinguished. A love that does not love anybody, but truly loves all mankind in God. It's not possessing, I love you, and you possess that person. No. A love that loves nobody, but loves everyone in God. It's not for you. During this time of isolation, a lot of people said, I hate being alone. It's being alone is the greatest thing because you're alone with God. The people that lose their spouses and say, oh, I can't stand it. I can't be alone. God did this, allowed this so that you could be alone with him. How many sacrifices the soul exposes for everyone and for each one in particular. Poor daughter, she is the true martyr. She is the true victim of all of mankind, for all of mankind. You have to understand, Louisa begins the new era. And that's why I say these 40 days, and what somebody just called and they said, Joseph was into Egypt for 40 centuries. Ago to save Israel. Louisa is here at this point. Why? To get us ready to enter into the kingdom. It's a new beginning that's coming. You have to understand this. It's not the same old anymore. And when you read the divine will, you are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. When you read the divine will, you're filled with a new understanding of how God operates in the soul. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and be back in 15 minutes.